again say Happy Father's Day. We'll be in Mark chapter 9 and verse 17 will be where we'll start. Mark chapter 9 and we'll begin in verse number 17 here and read down through verse 29. Mark chapter 9 verses 17 to 29, and verse 27 says, "But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." And that thought we'd like to retain today for the message that we have prepared. So let's begin reading there. Mark chapter 9, begin with verse number 17. We'll read down through verse 29. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch as many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time before we begin today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the experiences that we read about of our Savior and his healing, his ability, Lord, to care for his own. And we just pray that you might lead and direct, that we as your people would trust you more. Help us, Lord, to be those who see what a friend that we do have in Jesus. And we pray that you would lead and direct us, Lord, to desire that that we bring our things, bring our issues, bring our loved ones close to you. And we ask your blessings now that all that's done and said here today might glorify your precious name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A father's best friend is the title of our message today. A father's best friend. The scripture says here, but Jesus took him, in verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And of course, this was the son. This was the son that had had these issues, had had a demon possession since his since the time in which he was born. First of all, we're going to consider the text here and go through the text and understand what's going on here to start with, and then we want to think about, make the application, and think about what this says to us. And so, first of all, a man. Jesus is with a multitude. The disciples, his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, had been with him just recently before this and saw his transfiguration. And so we find that that was the occasion, and then he has gone now into the multitude and is in the presence of the multitude. And in the presence of the multitude is a man who brings his son, who brings the case of his son to Jesus. In other words, the situation. Verse 17, we see him doing that. It says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, a dumb spirit means you can't speak. A lot of times, the reason why people are unable to speak, we know, is because of deafness. And in this case, that was the case, because Jesus later on, said that he was also, he was deaf. And so we find that here he is, he is bringing his son and the case of his son to Jesus Christ. In verse number 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, the spirit itself is referred to as dumb and also as unable to hear later on. But we find, though, that his son, having this speechless, deaf demon, verse 17 and 18, the scriptures calls him in verse 18, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Wherever he takes him, wherever the demon, the spirit takes him, he tears him, he foameth, he gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. And that's the condition or the situation of his son, and that the result of having this demon possession. And I spake to thy disciples, he said. So this son had this demon. The situation, the issue was brought, first of all, to Jesus' disciples. And they couldn't do anything about it. Scripture says, and they could not. So he wanted them to cast him out. And they apparently tried to cast out the demon, but were unsuccessful, were not able to do that. And, of course, in this event and what's taking place here, obviously there's a reason. God had a reason why that would not be possible. They were able to cast out demons at other times and other situations, but in this case, they were not able to do that, and we'll read more about why that is, but at any rate, it was the Lord's will that they wouldn't be able to do it, and it was the Lord's will that this particular case would be brought directly to Jesus. And there wouldn't be any confidence or any trusting in the disciples having done this, but that it would be the Lord, that he would be the one who had accomplished this miracle of lifting up, of removing this this evil spirit from this man's son. The man had already taken his case, as they say, to the disciples. Jesus spake of then in response to him telling him that. Jesus speaks here, and he answered him, verse number 19, he answered him after he just got through telling him that he took him to the disciples and they weren't able to do anything. He answered him and saith, notice it says, he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. But he says, "Oh, faithless generation," but nonetheless, he asked that he be brought into his presence. Bring him unto me. Bring him all the way to me. Bring him to me into my very presence. So Jesus spake of the faithlessness of this generation. We can talk about that, and it's something for another day. But the fact is, though, that that it does apply to this man too, because as we read on, we find that the man himself is not a man that, at least at first at face value, is not a man that is really trusting that God can do this and that the Lord can do it. So a faithless generation. And verse number 20, when the son was brought, the evil spirit attacked him more aggressively. After he brings him to Jesus, he finally does get him there. Verse number 20, they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, when the spirit saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So when he saw Jesus, when the spirit saw Jesus, he more aggressively attacks the young man and brings him down to the ground, where he falls to the ground. He's torn, he falls to the ground, and he's wallowing, as the scripture says here, foaming. And so we see the desperate nature of his case, of this situation. And as soon as he sees Jesus, the devil wants to cause as much trouble as he's allowed to cause. In verse number 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago? Jesus asked his father, Jesus questioned the child's father of the duration of his son's condition. How long have you had this? How long has this been a case? Of course, it's like Jesus, here he is, he's the great physician, and he's asking questions. And why is he asking these questions? Why would he ask a question like this? He knows what the situation is, and he's not needing information, but nonetheless he asks him the question, how long is it since he's been in this condition? And he tells him he elaborated on the severity of the case in verse number 22. The father does. He tells him how serious it is. But in verse 21, he said he was been that way since childhood. In verse 22, he says, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Wants to kill him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, if you're praying, I'd advise that that's not the kind of prayer that would be a very good prayer to pray. Lord, if you can do anything about this, then can you help? Would you help? It's not a matter of can he. It's a matter of will he? Will he? Remember the leper that came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, he said, I know that you can. And he said, but it is a matter of whether or not you will. If you will do it, would you cleanse me? Would you deliver me? Here on this occasion, it's a faithless situation. This is a situation where there is faithlessness on the part of this father. And he's not believing at this time that it's going to be possible. He's got a shred of hope that somehow that Jesus will have some kind of compassion on him and do something that might help him, but it doesn't even seem like he thinks he can do it. How many of us have ever prayed to the Lord, in seriousness, even though aside from what I just said, how many of us have ever prayed to the Lord and prayed and kind of not even believed that God is going to accomplish something? And we pray again and again, and we just kind of resign to the fact that he's not going to do anything, that this is it, that this is that the situation as it is going to be the situation forever. It's going to be the situation. Not it's a child, and maybe it's a kid that doesn't know the Lord, and you pray, mom prays or dad prays, and love to have that son come to know the Lord, and you pray for him, And you almost resigned, and you see their life, and you see the situation, you see the rebellion, you see everything that goes on, causes heartache, causes all kinds of trouble, and you pretty much learn to live with it, and you think, well, it just may not be the Lord's will that be done, and yet, oftentimes the Lord does work, and he accomplishes things, and then you're almost surprised, and you feel embarrassed, and you feel ashamed that you're almost surprised that the Lord did what you've been praying about, what you had prayed for. The Lord really did answer your prayer, and he answered it sometimes exactly the way you prayed it, but you just didn't believe it, didn't really accept the fact that that is even possible. And I think I see the desperation of this father here. He's in a desperate situation. And it's like, this has been going on forever. I'm sure he had taken him to other physicians. I'm sure he had taken him, trying to get somehow to try to resolve the issue that his son had, but was never able to do it. He even brought it to the disciples, some of the disciples. And so his hope that this would ever have real resolution here is growing thin, and he expresses that, especially after now the disciples of Jesus, whom he'd already heard about, many of them had been able to cast out demons, and they'd been able to do certain things that the Lord had allowed them and permitted them to do, giving them strength and giving them his grace to do, and it hasn't worked even with them. And so Jesus then identifies the weakness of the father's faith. In verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And why is he saying that? Well, he's saying that because the man just got through saying, if thou canst do anything, if you can do anything, can you do this? And he turns it on him and he says, well, do you believe that I can do anything? And is basically the question. Do you really believe that I'm able to do what you've heard about, what you've heard that I've been able to do? In fact, maybe he's even seen the Lord work and God work before in his life. But at any rate, do you believe that? So he's identifying the weakness of his father's faith. But the father then is weeping in verse number 24. He starts crying after he hears this. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, yes, I do believe, but I know that I don't believe as much as I'd like to, as much as I should. Help thou mine unbelief. Help with his faith. Well, there's all kinds of applications for that, an understanding of that passage of Scripture and what all it entailed. But again, it's not our intention today to elaborate on that. But just to say that here is this father, and he has been told by the Lord, you need to trust, you need to depend on me, you need to believe that I can do it. And he says, okay, I believe that you can do it. And help my unbelief. Help me with this problem that I have. And then in verses 25 and 26, Jesus charged the demon to depart. But he still even allowed him a final assault. Now, Jesus was in control here. Jesus could have totally eliminated the demon immediately, as he had done before. He could have immediately said depart, and the demon would have departed immediately. But that's not what he does. And it isn't because Jesus wasn't able, but it's to test and it's to try again. It's to try the faith of the Father and to show the Father how that, yes, it is a very difficult case, but I'm able to resolve this. I'm able to fix this problem. And you, sometimes the Lord causes us to think, well, okay, it's like he can, and we have confidence that he can, and then something else happens that makes things worse, and we feel like, well, it's just not going to happen. The Lord's not going to meet the need. The Lord's not going to fulfill the problem, the issue, whatever it is we have. Take care of the son, as this was the case here. He allowed him another assault. He allowed it to get worse in a way, even though he's already charged the demon to depart. He allows it to get worse. In verse 25 and 26, the Lord's in control here completely, and he's in control of the timing of when what he just said was going to have its effect. he says, he charges the demon to depart, and he's in control. He's going to allow the demon to remain there for a little bit before he has to depart. Verse 25 and 26, we read it. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, there's the deafness also, dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. That's not only saying come out of him, but it's also saying don't enter into him anymore. Never again enter into him. So it's like, okay, there's a pretty confident statement that the Lord just made, and this father is listening and he hears him say this, and it's like, well, we'll see. It seems like he's confident. Seems like Jesus knows what he's doing. Seems like he knows he's going to not only send him out, but he's going to tell him never to come back again. And what happens? Read it there, verse 26. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. But he cried and rent him sore. He was permitted to give one more final, very hard attack of the Father's Son. And then he came out of him, and he was as one dead. I mean, this was the worst assault, apparently, that the child had ever experienced, that the son had ever experienced, because this attack, even after Jesus said, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him, this attack is an attack that appeared to cause his death. It looked like it was fatal. He was as one dead. Insomuch that many said he is dead. Many are standing there, and the multitude is seeing this, and they're hearing Jesus speak, and they're like, well, it didn't work. He didn't, you know, the disciples couldn't do anything about it, and Jesus couldn't do anything about it either. And it just seemed that it was a terrible, a dismal situation here that didn't look like there was going to be any improvement. And the child, the result was going to be that the child had died. But, verse 27. And verse 27 begins with the word but. But, Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus had a plan for exactly how it would happen, that he would be cast out, that the demon would be cast out in his time. But he was going to cause that there looked like he had died. He's going to be brought to almost a fatality. And the Lord is going to just reach over and he's going to lift him up. And he's going to be alive. It's like everybody has already discounted Jesus. The multitude there has already said, there he is, he's failed. You know, nothing good. It's almost a picture of the cross. It looked like the cross is the dismay and the total destruction of Jesus and of everything that he had purposed and caused to do. Well, sometimes it can look that way, can't it? Sometimes it can look like he's not able. Sometimes it can look like that his word is not sufficient. It can look like that the command of the Lord is not going to do anything, but it always does. It always does. And Jesus then, in verse 27, takes him by the hand and lifts him up. It isn't a matter of his words. It's a matter of his actions here on this occasion. It's not a matter of what he said that is going to impress everybody. What he said didn't have too much of an impression on everybody until what he did brought the whole thing together. What Jesus said, he was able to do. He was able to accomplish. But he accomplished it timing-wise in the way he wanted to accomplish it. And he takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and he is fine. He arose. And when it was come to the house, his disciples asked him privately. So now Jesus is asked by his disciples. And again, we're not going to get into this too deeply, but he's asked by his disciples. They asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He said, sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes it is a matter of timing. Sometimes it's not going to, a demon's not going to come out just exactly whenever you said depart. You said in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, or whatever you might have said to depart from this young man. And it didn't work. And he said, well, sometimes it takes some prayer and fasting. Sometimes it takes more than that. And so in this whole event, we find how important it is to trust in the Lord. And what a friend this father actually did have in the Lord Jesus. There's no better friend than Jesus. There's no better friend that we could ever have. He is our hope. He is our assurance. He is our peace with God. He is for certain, as much as we might fail him, as much as we might not trust him as we ought to, he is for certain our surety. He is for certain our right standing before God. He is for certain our righteousness. He is everything that we need as it pertains to eternal things. But he's also everything we need as it pertains to earthly things, as it pertains to things here. There's no better friend than Jesus, so bring your cares. The father here brought his cares to Jesus, brought his cares to him. He obviously, this was something that had been an issue for a long time. It's something that had grown, and at times, I'm sure, there were times where that the father had almost given up, but he'd always pursue and find his son and rescue his son, one time thrown into the water, one time thrown into the fire, times where they could have been killed. And he goes and he can tell about these situations because they happened, and he knew about them, and he was his life had been totally changed. He was a man, I'm sure, a man who was, if it was anything like me, I'd just been stressed out so badly. It would have been such a terrible life to have to live with the condition and the situation that his son was in. And yet, the father, out of love, he cares for him. He's going to meet the needs that he has as best he can. Now he's going to care for him in a different way. He's going to bring his case to Jesus. There's no better friend to have than Jesus. Bring your cares, bring your case. Bring the case, whatever it is, to the Lord. He can answer the prayer. He can answer. He can meet the need, the specific need that's there. He knows it better than we know it. In one sense, I read that into this text, and maybe it's not right, but I kind of read into the text where here, on one side, the fellow describes the situation, and my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and he goes on, and Jesus says, yeah, well, he's got a dumb and deaf spirit. So it's almost like Jesus knows the situation better than he does. He knows his situation far better than he knows it. The Lord knows your situation. He knows my situation far better than we do. He knows it more specifically. He knows exactly what all our issues are. He knows precisely what the condition of our kids are. He knows precisely what the situation is with, you know, I got a kid in California and I got a kid in New Mexico, and I'm not able to see him every day. I text him sometime, but that's and talk to him on the phone sometime. But the fact is, though, that he's still, you worry and you're concerned about him, and they're in a sense, they're your case if you're a father, and if you're a mother too, they're your case. They you care. You bring their case before the Lord. Bring it before the Lord as best you know how. And the Lord can fill in the parts that you don't know. The Lord can take care of the rest. Bring your weaknesses. There's no better friend than Jesus. So bring your weaknesses. He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. I know that I don't believe the way you would want me to believe. I know that my faith is not strong. I know that I don't have the strength, but help. So the Lord's going to help him anyway. The Lord's going to take care of that. Say, well, if you don't have faith, then the Lord's not going to answer your prayer. I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord cares about us and he loves us. And if we come to him with our condition, and we may not even believe it, that he can do anything, but he can and he will and he cares. He loves us. So bring it all. Bring your weaknesses. And then bring your faith. Bring your confidence. He said, I believe. He said, help thou mine unbelief. But he said, Lord, I believe. Bring your faith. Come to the Lord with your faith. Come to the Lord with that confidence that you do have. May not have everything you ought to have, but bring what you do have, the little confidence that's there. How much faith does it take to move a mountain? Jesus said it didn't take very much, did it? See, just the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And that's confidence in the Lord, that the Lord can do that. He's not saying that you can do it of yourself, as though you had the strength to do it. But the Lord can. The Lord can do anything. And then one other big message that I get from here, from this passage of scripture, in that there's no better friend than Jesus. Bring your patience. Bring your patience, because the way the Lord works is not always the way we think he should. Not always the way we think he will, but he will work. Bring your patience. And so as we look at this passage, we find this man, he's having to go through it. How much patience did he have to have, you know? I mean, his son is, he brings him to Jesus, and then there's a major attack that happens to him from the Spirit. So, well, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe it's not the Lord. Maybe the Lord can't do anything about this, because they get this verse 18, this major attack. He teareth them, foameth, gnasheth with him, on him with his teeth, pineth away. Spake to your disciples, and they wouldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything. And in verse number 20, they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, his spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. I mean, this is after now he's brought him to Jesus. And then then Jesus speaks, and verse 24 says straightway, verse number 26, and the spirit cried and rent him sore. Got to be patient. Got to be patient. Bring your patience. There's no better friend than Jesus. And he will show himself to be the best friend that this fellow ever had. But he did take him through some difficulties here, and it was not easy for him to, as he saw what took place. And, you know, sometimes as God's people, we're going to go through experiences in this life that are going to be difficult. They're going to be trying. They're going to be hard. They're going to be things that we know. It's the only way, the only answer we got is the Lord. And He can answer. He can meet the needs. And we should bring our case to Him and trust in Him and depend upon Him and resolve in our heart that we will be patient and we will wait upon Him. Because waiting upon the Lord is one of the hardest things that's possible for a human being to do. But the Lord can increase our faith. He can give us strength and give us the ability. But there is no better friend to fathers than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your blessings of deliverance, Lord, upon our lives. Especially the great deliverance that we have experienced, where we have been delivered from death, we've been delivered from condemnation, and Lord, we are thankful that you care about us, and you continue to deliver us, and that you continue to watch over us, and that you can deliver us, Lord, from all forms of affliction, all forms of need for intercession, as other people have got problems that we are so concerned about and so care about that they feel like ours. And we just praise you, Lord, for how good you are and how that you can give us confidence and give us strength and give us encouragement, give us peace. And even as we look at this passage today, that we might have more peace and more assurance and confidence in your ability. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, the leper said. And we're grateful, Lord, that he showed forth that confidence, and it's encouragement to us. But we're also thankful for this man from the multitude that didn't have that kind of faith, and yet you're so good. And we just praise you for your goodness and ask for your mercy and your grace upon our lives. And we will praise you for all you do. And we just honor you today, and we worship you today, adore you today for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.